Stock markets tumble globally, plus reports of China spying in reverse.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer or mobile device instantly streamed by Netflix to save you time, money, and hassle. Free 30-day trial now at netflix.com/APM.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. Edward Snowden, who's revealed details of a secret U.S. program that monitored the internet and phone records around the world, today told a Hong Kong newspaper that the United States has hacked into Chinese networks. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
Snowden's allegations were all over China's state-run media this morning. For months, the U.S. government has criticized China for hacking its networks. All along, Chinese officials have reacted by saying the U.S. is hacking China, too. Bill Bishop compiles Cynicism, a daily blog devoted to Chinese news. He says for Beijing and its media, it's Christmas in June, and Snowden is Santa Claus.
The Chinese are saying, hey, see, look, we told you, and it's not us saying it, it's one of your own guys.
Bishop says the Chinese particularly love the fact that Snowden came to Hong Kong, technically Chinese territory. Tongji University cultural critic Zhu Dake agrees. He says the Chinese government doesn't want to hype the story too much because spying on people is exactly what it's been doing for years. Zhu says Snowden's dilemma is that he may be forced to seek political asylum in mainland China, one of the only places where the U.S. government can't intervene. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz. For Marketplace.
Also today, three European Union officials told the Financial Times that the Obama administration was able to lobby the EU to remove a piece of Europe's data privacy law to make it easier for the U.S. to spy on EU citizens. Now to markets. Published reports say some international hedge funds have been selling a lot of stock holdings in Japan. Plus, the World Bank cut its outlook for global economic growth today. For some results, let's do the numbers. Japan's Nikkei index dropped back into bear market territory on a collapse of 6.4% overnight. It's down 22% from its peak, but further perspective here, the Nikkei's now back to where it was in early April. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 2.2%. The FT 100 in London is down 1.2%. Index futures in the U.S. are currently down modestly. This week, health policy leaders are meeting in D.C. about accountable care organizations. Clearly a wonk devised that name, but there are hopes these ACOs will lead to better care and lower costs, if you can believe that. Well, maybe not, as Dan Gorenstein reports from the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY.
Here's the basic ACO model. Doctors and hospitals get a pot of money to take care of patients. If they come in under budget and meet health quality targets, the doctors and hospitals get a piece of the savings. If they go over budget, they can be on the hook financially.
Some ACOs are having success in not only lowering cost, but improving quality.
Larry Kokut is with the Brookings Institution. Kokut says it's too soon to say ACOs work, but they are multiplying like mushrooms.
In 2009, for example, there were just over a dozen ACOs. There's now upwards of over 390 ACOs in every region of the country.
More ACOs means hospitals and doctors who usually compete will now team up. And that worries Carnegie Mellon health economist Martin Gaynor.
You put people who are competitors together in a room, it's just natural that they're going to start engaging in some kind of scheme to benefit themselves.
Gaynor sees the upside to ACOs, but he says when doctors and hospitals join forces, it's easier to negotiate higher prices with insurers, and that could mean higher prices for us. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. Streamed now by Netflix, a great value. Netflix Streaming has lots of movie and television options, including past seasons of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, and Arrested Development. Watch them using Netflix Instant Streaming and find thousands of other TV series and movies during your free 30-day trial at netflix.com/APM.
This week on Marketplace, a closer look at America's consumer economy, one still trying to recover from the wild housing bubble. Now, we live in a country that knows its bubbles when it comes to real estate. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner has been looking into an American pioneer story. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, David.
All right, pioneers flipping houses?
Well, not houses, David, but land. It turns out that some of our beloved pioneers, they were land speculators. It wasn't a little house on the prairie out there. This took place in the 1910s in eastern Montana. Congress was giving away free land to just about anybody with a pulse because they wanted to settle the West, and so did the railroads. So together, they lured people out there with a lot of misleading advertising, some people might say propaganda, about how great the farmland was.
And it turned out to be not so fab?
Right. Well, let's put it this way. The old maps back then, they used to call that part of the United States the Great American Desert.
All right. So these latter-day pioneers, they're pursuing the Great American Dream, right?
Well, yeah. But for some of these people, pursuing the American Dream wasn't settling down. It was speculating on the land and making money. The land was free, after all. It was very tempting. It was like a zero-down mortgage or something. And the idea was they'd go out there, they'd stake their claim, move into the area. Other people would, too. And then, you know, roads would go in, schools would go in, land prices would go up. And then, you know, after a couple of years, you'd sell at a profit and move on elsewhere.
Now, I'm getting the feeling all this didn't work out quite like the speculators had planned.
It didn't. The bubble burst big time. It turned out that the rains that they'd been getting in the early 1910s, those weren't normal. Drought set back in, and the whole homesteading boom in Montana went bust. There were mass foreclosures. Half the state's banks failed. And David, just like in the late 2000s, there was a lot of finger pointing at the government and at corporations, in this case at the railroads and the banks, for luring people into this whole homesteading thing in the first place.
All right. Sarah has more on the Montana homesteading boom and bust on Marketplace this afternoon. Sarah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And for a one-way ticket to the doghouse, follow these instructions. A guy in Laguna Niguel, California, mistakenly sold his wife's $22,000 wedding ring at a yard sale for $10 while his wife was in the hospital. The husband told KTLA the ring was in a wooden wristwatch box that he could have sworn was empty. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.